Translation purpose by His Divine Grace. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Kirai. Dressed with muddy earth, mixed with cow dung and cow urine, the babies looked very beautiful. Wow, enlightenment happened. The babies looked very beautiful, and when they went to their mothers, both Yashoda and Rohini picked them up with great affection, embraced them, and allowed them to suck the milk flowing from their breasts. While sucking the breast, the babies smiled, and their small teeth were visible. Their mothers, upon seeing those beautiful teeth, enjoyed great transcendental bliss. Purport. As the mothers cared for their respective babies by the arrangement of Yogamaya, the babies thought, "Here is my mother." And the mothers thought, "Here is my son." Because of affection, milk naturally flowed from the mother's breasts and the babies drank it. When the mothers saw small teeth coming in, they would count them and be happy. And when the babies saw their mothers allowing them to drink their breast milk, the babies also felt transcendental pleasure. As this transcendental affection continued between Rohini and Balaram and Yashoda and Krishna, they all enjoyed transcendental bliss. Tanmataro nija sutao grinaya snavantyo pankangara garuchiro upagriya dorpyam datvastanam prapidito smamukham niriksya mutha smitalpa dasanam yaitu pramoda. Dressed with muddy earth mixed with cow dung and cow urine, the babies looked very beautiful. And when they went to their mothers, both Yashoda and Rohini picked them up with great affection, embraced them, and allowed them to suck the milk flowing from their breasts. While sucking the breast, the babies smiled, and their small teeth were visible. Their mothers, upon seeing those beautiful teeth, enjoyed great transcendental bliss. So we are very fortunate, because by Prabhupada's mercy, we have access to the transcendental pastimes of the Supreme Lord at home in Sri Vrindavan Dham. Srila Prabhupada explains that Vaikuntha is the Supreme Lord's office and Vrindavan, that's his home. So we can understand how special Krishna consciousness is, because not only this is the oldest spiritual tradition, the original spiritual tradition of this planet, from which every other tradition emanated, not only we have full and complete knowledge of both material and spiritual worlds, sometimes some, you know, naive people, they challenge the devotees for philosophical debate, and they bitterly regret that later, because you cannot defeat the devotee. First of all, devotee has all the knowledge from Prabhupada's books, and second of all, devotee has transcendental intelligence given by the Supreme Lord himself. And so, yeah, we have not only oldest tradition, not only fullest knowledge, and not the richest spiritual culture, but we also have an access to the most intimate relationship with the Supreme Lord in His eternal abode in Sri Vrindavan Dham. Of course, to fully develop those relationships, we need to work hard. As Prabhupada said, work now, samadhi later. Of course, sometimes devotees, after working hard, they want to immediately absorb themselves in samadhi, especially during Bhagavatam class or japa. But the real samadhi will come later, when we become qualified. And actually, samadhi doesn't mean being inactive. We can see by Prabhupada's example that he was absorbed in full samadhi in Vrindavan, actually living near the greatest samadhi of the greatest acharya, Rupa Goswami. And he was fully absorbed in samadhi of meditating on the Supreme Lord and his eternal associates. And we can see what came out from this samadhi. Srila Prabhupada left Vrindavan and went to the United States, and so starting from there he spread Krishna consciousness all over the free world, all over the world. And so this is real samadhi. Vaishnava samadhi, Vaishnavas are never inactive. They are always busy sharing Krishna consciousness with conditioned souls. And why do we want to share Krishna consciousness? Because it's so nice. That probably following Prabhupada's footsteps, we could also say that the most important word in this specific verse is pramoda. Pramoda. Moda means joy or happiness or bliss. Like we have at present time Narendra Modi as a Prime Minister of India, and Modi comes from Moda, right? Moda means happy, blissful. So bliss, and Modi means happy man, blissful. This is his surname. And Narendra, of course, the king of men, king amongst men, so it's a very appropriate name. And we can see that he does a lot of good things, helping other people to become Krishna consciousness and protecting Dharma. Actually, lately he was traveling, seeing different heads of states and different other important people, and doing book distribution. He was distributing Bhagavad Gitas to the heads of states. And so, because he understands that the most important thing in life is transcendental knowledge and developing relationship with the Supreme Lord. So, moda means happiness or bliss, and pra, as Prabhupada explains, is prakrishta rupana, that prefix to the word which intensifies its meaning. Like the name Prahlada. Prahlada means happiness, like we have Hladini Shakti, Srimati Radharani. So Hlada means happiness, and Pra means intense happiness. And so Pramoda means intense bliss, intense joy. Both Mother Yashoda and Rohini were enjoying. And so we have a little window into Vrindavan Sakya Rasa by the mercy of Shukadeva Goswami and Srila Prabhupada. How mothers Yashoda and Rohini were enjoying the transcendental relationship with their sons, Krishna and Balaram. And it's a little surprising that they were enjoying seeing their sons being completely covered with the mud, mixed with cow dung and urine, and they were coming to their mothers to suck their breast milk. A couple of interesting things here. One is how the mother can be happy by seeing the son covered with mud. Normally mothers are not very happy in that case. But this is Vrindavan, and this is not, mud is considered to be contaminating substance, but Vrindavan mud is purifying. It's the purest of all. That's why Krishna ate mud, right? Krishna ate dirt, and this is, by the way, the reason why Mother Yashoda saw the universal form within his mouth, because she wanted Krishna to open his mouth to show whether there is any earth in his mouth, right? And Krishna, fulfilling the desire of his mother, he showed her not only earth, not just little earth, but the whole earth planet, along with so many other planets and the entire creation. So Mother Yashoda saw more earth than she expected. So much that she got completely confused. Krishna likes playing, you know, this, what do you call it, pranks on people. Krishna's really naughty. In the same way, you know, like Brahma, he wanted, you know, he was not really appreciating Krishna's, you know, simple pastimes in Vrindavan, because he heard from demigods, oh, this is the Supreme Lord. And so he expected the Supreme Lord to be manifested in his full divine majesty with four hands and all the attributes of the Supreme Lord, etc., etc. And here he saw a little boy just, you know, playing very simple games with his friends. And so he was not sure if this is actually the Supreme Lord. That's why he stole the boys and calves. And then, after he came back, Krishna actually fulfilled his desire, because, you know, after Brahma was confused, all the calves and all the boys are still there. So did I steal them or didn't I steal them? Can you imagine? You've done something and then, you know, there is no result. Like, say you put a hat on your head and you look in the mirror and there is no hat. Could be very confusing, right? So, or you put some food in your fridge and you open the fridge and the fridge is empty, right? And you wonder, you know, did I put anything there? So we can imagine Brahma's confusion, you know, like he took the all these coward boys and cows, put them in a cave, and he came back and everyone was still playing with Krishna. And he became so confused, and Krishna felt a little sorry for him, and so he disclosed to him that these are not the real, the original boys and cows. And then, so these are his expansions, and he is not just Narayan. We don't call Krishna God, if you've noticed, right? Krishna is not God. Krishna is who? The Supreme Personality of Godhead, right? Because there are many gods, many expansions of the Supreme Lord, but Krishna is not. Krishna is not avatar, he is avatari, so that's why Krishna consciousness is not a religion. Because religion means people worshiping God. And Krishna consciousness means we develop our personal relationship not just with God, but with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the fountainhead of all incarnations. And therefore, Krishna manifested his majestic divine forms through those apparent boys and cows. And so Brahma wanted to see one Supreme Lord in all his divine opulence, but Krishna over-contributed, right? Anyway, he fulfilled his desire to the extent Brahma could never imagine. And so, you know, instead of seeing one god, he saw many gods, and they were all the same. Poor Brahma. I mean, you know, Krishna confused him twice in a real bad way, because Brahma was kind of challenging Krishna, you know, like I have mystic powers. And so...
Superseded
his explanation, that's right, yeah. And so Krishna showed him just a couple of his mystic powers. And Brahma became completely confused and humbled by that display. And so, but, you know, coming back to the mud where we started off, we'll come back to the Brahmas stealing cowherd boys and cows, because, you know, it's Vraj, it's all interlinked. All these pastimes, they, you know, connected to each other in very mysterious ways, and they form this amazing picture, which is called Vrindavan, Shivraj Bhumi, Vrindavan Dham. So amazing, this picture is so amazing, this scene is so amazing, that when we go there, we'll be just in a state of non-stop, you know, what do you call it, amazement and astonishment, and we'll never want to leave. We'll want to stay there forever and ever, because it's so amazing, it's so unexpected, and it's such a fun, and I mean, but you have to go, you have to wait to go there to see it all, but we can still see little glimpse through this scripture by the mercy of Srila Shukadeva Goswami and Srila Prabhupada. And so, coming back to the mud, Krishna is covered with mud, and Mother Yashoda and Rohini, they have no objections. Why should they? Because this mud is pure. And we're following in the footsteps of Krishna, and we're also covering ourselves with the mud, right? Every morning, and if you take bath more than once, you cover yourself with the mud number of times, right? Put mud on your forehead, put mud on the 12 parts of your body, right? Because this mud is pure. It's actually purifying. And we are very proud, I mean, not proud of ourselves, but proud to be Krishna's servants. And we're very proud to wear this mud on our body, because it's transcendental. And so, therefore, neither Yashoda nor Rohini ever objected Krishna being covered with the mud. They were happy, huh? Our sons are also covered with this mud. Yeah. Actually, yeah. Vrindavan is such a fun, like this parikram, or last one. Anyway, one of the Braj parikramas I took part in with my spiritual master, Shilindra Dumnaswamy. We were in Tarkadamba, and if any of you been there, you know, it's really amazing place where Rupa Goswami wrote his transcendental literature, the place where, you know, Krishna is calling all his cows, the place from which he starts his transcendental day of adventure. And as in most places in Vrindavan, it's covered with dust. Right? It's so dusty. It's supposed to be sand, but it is actually dust. Anyone knows why there is so much dust in Vraj? Yes. That one day when Krishna was, and it's a side story, I don't know how we got into that, but one day when Krishna was about to go out for the first time and herd the cows, and Mother Yashoda was insisting that he should wear shoes, because there are stones and pebbles, so Mother Yashoda didn't want him to hurt his little feet. Krishna's skin is so tender that even if the leaf of the tree touches his skin, the skin changes its color, right? So it's so tender. And so Mother Yashoda was really worried that if he will step on a sharp stone, you know, he may hurt himself. So she was insisting, Krishna, please wear shoes and also have an umbrella over your head because it might get a little hot. But Krishna said, you know, my duty, my dharma is to look after these cows. And what these cows or calves? Anyway, he said, my duty is to look after the cows and calves, and therefore I cannot, yeah, these were calves, I cannot accept shoes and umbrella unless and until each and every calf has shoes, you know, four shoes, four hooves, and a servant to carry an umbrella over each cow's head, you know, because calves cannot carry the umbrella for themselves, so they would require someone to do that. And Mother Yashoda looked at all the calves, even though she is a queen, but that's, you know, she thought, this is beyond my capacity to provide all the calves with that. And besides that, whoever heard of calves wearing shoes? And so she refused. She said, no, Krishna, we're not going to be doing that. And Krishna said, okay, then I'm not taking that because I cannot take any facility which is better than the facility of those I am protecting. Dharma rakshita rakshita. And this is really amazing. You can see in Krishna's pastimes that even when they come to the water with calves, first they let calves drink the water, and then they drink it themselves. So this is how great Krishna's love is for his devotees. Calves are his devotees. And so, actually, when Krishna did that, when he refused to have shoes and umbrella, the cows learned that, apparently from their calves. And they felt such a gratitude for Krishna's self-sacrifice for their sake that at night they ran out of their barn and they were running around the entire Braj. And with their hard hooves, they were breaking each and every stone into dust. So that's why there is so much dust in Braj still. And when we were in that place, Terkanamba, you know, there were many adult devotees and also children. And children by nature are not really meant to like listen to philosophy, etc. They just want to have fun. They just want to play. And so while the class was going on, all these children, they were rolling in the dust, they, you know, like were throwing dust upon each other. They had really great time. And the parents could say nothing because it's transcendental dust. If that would happen anywhere in the material, outside of, you know, Holy Dham, they would object. Now, why are you playing? You know, this is dirty, you know, just leave it. But they could say nothing. This is transcendental dust. So we can understand that it's not ordinary. These are not ordinary descriptions, and this is not ordinary mud. And even cow dung and cow urine is not ordinary because it's coming from Surabhi, spiritual cows. And so Mother Yashoda and Rohini had no problems with Krishna and Balaram covered with mud and cow down in urine, and they were immediately taking them on their lap, and they were feeding them with their breast milk and being very happy. And Srila Prabhupada was saying that mother's love is the closest resemblance of divine love, of love of God, because it's the most selfless. As it is as selfless as it can get in the material world, but of course it is still conditioned in the material world, because why the mother loves the son so much? For a very simple reason, because son is an extension of the mother's body. And so naturally, we all love ourselves, we love our body. And so because, you know, children are extensions of the body, and, you know, mother, you know, it's not so much extension of the body of the father, right? Father's contribution is minimal. But mother's contribution is maximum. And so, naturally, mothers are very attached to their children as they attach to themselves. And so they love their children as they love themselves. And so that's why Prabhupada says, you know, mother's love for the child is the closest resemblance of love of Krishna in the spiritual world. And nevertheless, it is pure transcendental love, and it is very different, because Krishna and Balaram are children who are very different from ordinary children, and so they would look at their, well, one important point is that they were running, and they had teeth growing, and any parent would tell us at what age normally children grow their teeth. Anyone? We don't have any parents in here? Or you don't remember? Two years old. So, yeah, not definitely not one. I don't think so. So, 2 years old at least. And so, you know, we can understand that they were running, and they had their teeth. Their teeth already were growing, so they were quite, you know, big in one sense. But they were still sucking the mother's breast. And so this is a part of the Vedic culture, that children have to be breastfed as long as they want to have breast. And unfortunately, in our day and age, this is discouraged, that children are, denied breastfeeding at a very young age. But this is a big mistake, because the longer the child is breastfed, the stronger the child becomes, because all the, you know, elements required for being healthy, strong, are contained in mother's breast milk. And as long as baby wants to have the mother's breast milk, he or she should be allowed to do that. And so they were feeding their children with their breast milk, and looking at their mouth, looking at their teeth. And Prabhupada says, counting their teeth and feeling happy. So this is normally not what people do, counting teeth. But, you know, people rather count money or count some gems or pearls, some wealth. You know, people like to count wealth. That's, you know, some people's greatest pastime, you know, how much wealth do I have? And so they count it again and again and again and enjoy the process. But unfortunately, this wealth, Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai, this wealth is both illusory and temporary, because people are expecting this wealth to bring them happiness, but instead, oftentimes they find that this wealth brings them only misery, because it increases the number of envious people, increases the number of enemies, increases, you know, all kinds of problems in their lives. And they work so, so hard for that wealth, and they work even harder to protect it. And they struggle all their lives, and then they die, and someone takes away this wealth from their hands. So that's the story of the material world, unfortunately. But real wealth is Krishna. That's why the smartest people, instead of just, you know, striving for wealth, they strive to become Krishna conscious, because Krishna is not just wealth, he is the source of all wealth. And acharyas are describing Krishna's teeth. This is the description given in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that Krishna's teeth are so perfect and so shiny and beautiful that they resemble rows of pearls in his mouth. And so Mother Yashoda and Rohini were meditating on those transcendental pearls in their mouths, and they were very happy to count those pearls, because that is the real wealth. And of course, we may hear all this description and we may wonder how that applies to us. What's the application? We're not in the spiritual world, and unfortunately we don't have that opportunity to have direct relation to Krishna. But actually, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we have that opportunity. Actually, we have within our practices the systems which help us to enter into the very close transcendental relationship with the Supreme Lord. And so, anyone can tell us, what is the Vaishnava practice to develop the mood of Vatsalya Rasa within Krishna consciousness? How do we develop the Vatsalya Rasa mood at our present state? And do we do that at all? Yeah, meditating on Mother Yashoda, okay. Okay, so that's one, yes. Yes, in general, it's worshipping the deities, right? Because deities, this is the Lord himself, but he assumes dependent position on the devotee. And so, by worshipping the deity, devotee develops this Vatsalya mood, because deity is completely dependent. You know, you have to feed the deity, dress the deity, bathe the deity, everything. Of course, we may wonder, oh, why do we need to develop our Vatsalya mood if our acharyas are stressing the importance of Madhurya Rasa? So why do we need to bother about Vatsalya? And above all, deity worship, as we know, is not really the process of attaining spiritual perfection in Kali Yuga. What's that verse? Dhyayato kritaya, no, dhyayato. Anyway, it says that the process of attaining the perfection in Satya Yuga was dhyayato a meditation on the Supreme Lord, and then Tretaya Yajatomakai. In Treta Yuga, it was offering yagyas, sacrifices, and then Dvapare Parichariyo, that in Dvapara Yuga, it was deity worship, Parichariyo, and Kalau Tat Harikirtanam, that for Kali Yuga, the main process is Harikirtan, chanting the Lord's holy names. So we may wonder, if our process is chanting the Lord's holy names, why Srila Prabhupada made so much effort to introduce and establish on a very solid basis the deity worship for all the devotees? Anyone can tell us? Yes. Yes. Yes, it is true. And also, an important thing is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that the higher rasa is including the elements of the previous rasas, right? And we cannot even speak about the lower rasa. Like, if we think, if we read these pastimes and we think, oh, this is Vatsalya, this is not mine, this is not the highest, I don't really care about this, because Radharani is the best devotee. Srila Prabhupada says, if anyone thinks that Mother Yashoda's love for Krishna is in any way, shape or form is inferior to Radharani's love, such a person is a great offender. Because it's not inferior, it's just different. Just different type of relationship. And, yes. 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 Deity worship. Yes. And yeah, that's very important. And so we can understand, yeah, and Srila Prabhupada also said that Mother Yashoda's love for Krishna is so great that she is ready to die 1,000 times for one hair falling off Krishna's head. So this is how great Mother Yashoda's love. And we can understand that, for example, Bhagavat Mark, or actually Bhagavat Mark is Madhurya Rasa, because it's spontaneous self-sacrifice. And what is the manifestation of Madhurya Rasa within our movement? How the topmost rasa is manifested. And that is preaching Krishna consciousness, like book distribution. If you go out on books, that means you are following in the footsteps of the gopis of Vrindavan. But we may, you know, be confused. How is that? That gopis never distributed any books. But it's not the activity. It's the mood of self-sacrifice. Because for book distribution, you have to sacrifice. It's the greatest yagya, Sankirtan yagya. And so gopis were the greatest devotees who sacrificed, you know, even their prestige, even their, you know, good name for the sake of pleasing Krishna. And so the real preacher is the one who is fully sacrificing himself for the pleasure of the Lord. But if we preach, if we introduce people to Krishna, people have to see Krishna, people have to, you know, have the experience. And that's why we need temples. That's why we need deity worship. And so, yes, that Bhagavat and Pancharatrik mark are both very important. And so, if you are on the real Madhurya level, you have to have the elements of Vatsalya already included in it. And so this is very important for us to understand that there is no higher and lower in Krishna consciousness. It's one thing, and we're just looking at different elements, like the body, right? The legs might be lower than the arms, but it doesn't mean that someone will say, oh, the legs are the lowest part of your body, you know, why do you need the legs? Let's cut them off. So, you know, it's not working like that. And so, if Dasya Rasa is the lowest, but it doesn't mean that we can ignore it, because this is the foundation, the service. And actually, the foundation is Shanta, and how the Shanta Rasa manifests. By appreciating Krishna, by admiring Krishna, by being, enchanted by Krishna. So we can understand that unless we develop that quality of Shanta, full appreciation of Krishna, we cannot move really to Dasya, right? And unless we move to Dasya, we cannot move to Sakya, and we cannot move to Vatsalya. And so Madhurya would include all the elements of the previous rasas. And so this is really important for us to have this, as they say in the modern world, holistic approach to Krishna consciousness. We have to see the whole picture. And so, like in Russia they say, you cannot take the words out of the song. So, and, you know, we cannot have this fragmental approach. Oh, this is higher, this is lower, this is more, this is less important. No, it's all important. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada, even though he gave us the highest, he gave us the 10th canto from the start as Krishna book, but after doing that, he went back and he started systematically introducing us the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. And this is our great fortune, that these books are our great fortune. And if we read the books and if we practice what Prabhupada says in his books, we can feel that great fortune in our lives, and then we'll have great desire to share that fortune with all other people, naturally. Hare Krishna.